Repeat a lot of what you've heard if you joined the first session, what Craig mentioned, and I think it was called out. If you're hearing things multiple times, they're probably important. A little bit about my background, so tips on keeping yourself marketable. I work as a recruiter now. I've been in this field for about 10 years. Before that, when I got out of college, I actually worked in a contract research role. That's where my heart and passion was. And then I found that it went elsewhere, and I really love recruiting people. So I found something that works really well over the last 10 years. I mean, I've helped hire hundreds of scientists. I look at a lot of resumes, thousands. So we get pretty good at, like, picking through things. Marketability is pretty interesting. What is it? Why do it? How to do it. So pretty simple. I'll try to keep things pretty basic. You're welcome to interrupt or ask questions if something comes up that's curious. So a basic definition: fit to be offered for sale in a market, wanted by purchasers or employers, and that's the relevant one for us, so saleable, or anything relating to buying or selling. So pretty basic, and those are something you can apply to a lot of different areas. So what we're looking at really is, what is your marketability? And that's a little bit different. We do want to consider the same things you would if you're making a decision to buy something. And so it's just trying to put yourself really in a perspective of what an employer may look for. And it's a little bit different. Employers look for personal skills. So when we're hiring people, we want self-discipline, aptitudes for learning, abilities to interact. There's a lot of other things, but they're really things that you're going to develop through life in a lot of cases. Technical skills, getting your degrees, procedural technical knowledge, techniques, terminology, understanding some of those things, and the ability to be able to explain those things are really important. And then functional skills. You kind of have this mix of three things, and the functional skills are really what you've heard of, soft skills or some of those things, communication, problem solving, but they're more than that too, because they do include kind of routine things. Are you good at scheduling? Can you pull out data? Can you make connections? And so that's kind of an understanding of yourself, and really some, it would take some self-reflection to understand where your strengths lie. I did go back to school for a business degree. In that program, they did a lot with self, kind of understanding yourself, strength finders, Myers-Briggs tests. So you can kind of get a framework of where your strengths lie. I think of note for me, when I looked at some of the strength finders, for me, my biggest one is an achiever. I don't know if people have done those for themselves, but achievement is awesome when you're competitive like I am. It also really can make you dissatisfied if you don't achieve something every day, like weekends and nights and vacation and any of those times. So I find the 2 or 3 days to relax, to get something done on a vacation, I need that stuff because that's how I'm wired. But why would you want to focus on marketability and understanding some of those things? Get a job. Pretty much everybody needs to eat, work, live. Develop or manage your career, or how I want to say that. Get a better job. And the last thing is, open up new possibilities and get that job you didn't even know about. It's all about employment, and that's why you want to be able to market yourself. You're selling yourself as a product, as a producer, or whatever that happens to be, a team player in most instances. And why? It's because you will look for another job. I did a little bit of research from Bureau of Labor Statistics. So they run statistics on employment data around there. So median tenure, this is how long you're going to stay at whatever company that is, for workers 25 to 34, 2.8 years. Every 3 years, you're looking for another job. It kind of stinks. Lucky for you, if you have a bachelor's degree or better, it jumps up a little bit. But figure five. So 5 years, you're probably going to be looking for something else. Hopefully, get a great company, you can look for that internal opportunity. Maybe you grow internally, but sometimes you do have to go elsewhere to find something that's going to be better or the right opportunity for you. So the meat and bones. So how to make yourself more marketable. And so the good stuff is a couple things I think that you want to keep in mind is kind of understanding what that marketability looks like. So when you look for a product to buy yourself, what are the things that you look for? And there's about five things that most people kind of consider. So reliability of a product, reputation of that product, product allure, how enticing is it, familiarity, or other people have it, things like that, reusability, it's kind of maybe a newer one for this day and age, but recycling. If you look at it as a person selling your services or your abilities and your background, the reliability, it's the same thing. A lot of the reliability is done by those informal references that were talked about. Does that person show up? How do they work together in a team? When you corrected them, did they take that well, or how was that? That's part of the reputation, the allure. It's kind of all mixed in there because it's personal attributes. They're not quite defined as you would with an iPod or something. But familiarity, do you recognize the schools or the programs that you're in? Is that something we can relate to and resonate with? Reusability is really, for me, it's like what we would consider hiring for potential. So we want to hire attributes that we think are going to be successful. At Driscoll's, I know we teach people skills. You have to have a baseline knowledge often to get that job. But once you get it, we have to teach you how we want you to apply those skills in our work. And that's true of most companies. There's a different definition, I guess, of marketability. And this is from a person named Liz Ryan. She's an influencer on LinkedIn, HR, kind of recruiting in that space, talent acquisition. But her definition that she described was marketability, after all, is a matter of pitching your message in the way that your target audience members will respond to. You have to know a lot about your target market, that's research, if you want to craft a message that will appeal to them. When I look for people, and Driscoll's hired me to go look for scientists that weren't necessarily applying for work, I try to put myself in both sides. What do I want, but what's an employee looking for? When I'm on LinkedIn and I spend hours on LinkedIn, I'm looking for people who may not spend hours on LinkedIn. So I'm a little more easy on someone who doesn't have an excellent profile. I want an excellent profile because that's my business. But I want to find somebody. Maybe they don't care about LinkedIn. Maybe their boss told them they have to have a profile. I can make some assumptions when I'm looking in there. But if you can better your opportunities to be found, I mean, it's only going to help you if you do want to find something else. So you've got to do your research. I think it's about the third time in three talks that you've heard that. And it is probably the most important thing you can do when you're job searching. You need to craft good offer letters. You have a good resume. But do you know what others call your work? So you can go to LinkedIn. You can get a list of job titles. The way I would recommend that is type in something you know. If you're a plant breeder, type in plant breeding. You can get a bunch of people that come up on there. You can get thousands of people. Who cares? But look at the people. Look at their titles. What does the company that they work for call a plant breeder? Is it a plant breeder or is it some sort of genetic development person or something different that you may not recognize? I work with our managers on a regular basis to call a title something that people recognize. We have some weird stuff at Driscoll's. So try to make it so it's acceptable by the masses. So, but you don't necessarily know that walking into it. So what are the job titles that they call your role? Different companies that do that will call it something different. You can look at job boards. You can look at LinkedIn, like job boards like Indeed, Google, LinkedIn, those profiles. You can get lost on LinkedIn looking at profiles, getting information, not really doing anything with it. But you can look for a list of those job titles. But when you look at those people, so what roles do they have before the target one, the one that you want? And you can search for something you want. You want to be a physiologist. Type it in there and see what people do. Find these cool companies that hire. Well, how did that person get in there? Did they have a job before that was a little bit lower level that maybe you would be qualified for if you're not qualified for that job? It's a way to kind of build up a foundational knowledge of what kind of experiences those people had that got them into that other role. I would say, I'll skip a couple slides ahead, but don't be afraid to reach out to someone who's in that role. Ask them. It's, like they mentioned, this industry is pretty small. Everybody's pretty safe and kind of doing the same thing. So you could ask people about what they're doing, connect with them, and most people would be willing to have a conversation. What you want to think about, though, when you do look at have some of those skills or attributes, is there anything that you have in your background that's relatable? Something that you can kind of figure in, hey, that's pretty close to what these guys do, I may be able to kind of swing it or at least tell a good story. When you're on that side, who hired those skill sets? So when you're developing that list of names and kind of job titles, you can also look at who in the area, you know, kind of what companies are out there, where do they work at, where did they work before. You can almost develop a list, there are different names for it, but kind of an academy list or a list of target companies that you'd want, which would kind of lead you to your next step. Go to those companies. Find out everything you can about what they do. I would say Craig's message on values is huge. That's where you're going to work at. You're going to spend a ton of time there, probably way more than you will with any of your family or places you want to be. If they don't align with your values, that can be a real negative place to work. But if you get a place that does align with your values, it makes it pretty awesome. It's, you know, we look at Driscoll's for passion, humility, and trustworthiness. I worked for a company before that was big in collaboration. The requirements to get the work done required collaboration. It wasn't just something that was like, hey, it's cool to have. We need it. We won't get people, we won't be successful if we don't have the passion or we won't have the values of humility and things that we look for. Aligning those and being able to understand what those companies look for is a don't look over it. It's a big part of where you spend most of your time. History, culture, if you can understand some of that, so it's cool to know. A lot of our interviews ask people what they know about our company. They want people who are interested in working there. Why this company is to speak to you. And you can look at current past performance of those companies. You know, are they on the downward slide, or they've been successful and been profitable for many years? So looking at salaries, successful companies pay people. Other people get jobs let go. You see people on there, and it's kind of back slide. Don't be afraid to reach out to them. You can send an invite through LinkedIn to connect with people that look like a target for you. You have 300 characters, so you got to be really concise. But I think a direct approach. Hey, I don't know you. Your job's awesome, and I want to do it. I'm a scientist over here. Can we connect? They connect. Yes, great. Send them another follow-up. Can I talk to you for 20 minutes? Most people will take the time to talk to someone who's interested in what they do. It's flattering. And they can probably help make another connection for you. Those connections is a lot of how you understand things. You understand what companies are cool to work at, why they like to work there. Those things you may not get from a job description or a company board. That's the bonus. Ask for some time. Introduce yourself. Once you know them and they know you, it's a little easier to ask a question if you have a follow-up or you see a job posted. You can reach out and say, hey, saw that job. You know anything about it? I have people that do that to me all the time. If you're in the area and you're able to, a visit or a tour, seeing facilities, kind of get excited, walk around. If we have people interview at Driscoll's and I'm there, I work remote, so if I'm in our headquarters and I'm there, I walk them around and walk around and look at people. I want them to see our employees interacting because it's a cool place. Yeah, we have stress, we have a lot of things, but most people enjoy what they do. You can feel it. I've worked in other environments where you can feel the opposite side of it. It's not an area you want to recruit. It's like, man, just get me out. So ways to increase marketability. So demonstrating some of those soft skills. So teamwork, problem solving, conflict resolution. Have some examples of times you've done that because that's kind of how you demonstrate it. Interviews, being able to explain those things. Gain management experience, leadership experience. That's kind of that maybe if you have the ability to mentor someone, that's management or leadership experience that you will gain. Some of this is being able to craft and explain what you did and kind of, hey, this is really close to that and be able to tell a story. Become active in a professional association. This will be my plug for ASHS. Come here, interact with people, go to the talks, do what you can. If you're asked to contribute. It's a pretty safe crowd. Volunteer, present. And then acquiring new skills. You heard a couple times about people saying you're going to keep relevant. You know, you don't want to quit learning when you get out of school. You may be done with school, but you definitely don't want to keep learning. And there's other ways to do that. One way to understand if you're looking at a job that you don't have and you have skills in there is kind of having that skills gap or skills analysis or skills gap. what's in demand, what are they looking for, what do I have or what do I don't have, and how do I get there? And that's be able to craft a plan to be able to get some of those skills if you need them. There are many certifications or accreditations and things. There's Excel classes online for free. If you have a job that you want to brush up on Excel and you haven't done it, get on there and take some time. But it does take some time on your own. If your employer offers training or development courses, Driscoll's does leadership courses for our leaders. Those are things that are great to add to your resume. Hey, we had professional training on leadership or conflict resolution or some of those things that are important just for people interactions. Personal branding. This is really how you're going to market yourself. LinkedIn is probably the easiest or best tool. And you really want to target this branding on what you want, not really what you have. Examples, and you don't have to do these. There was a comment earlier, I believe, about watch what you put on LinkedIn or social media in general. I'm really reluctant to do things on LinkedIn just because not everyone's happy about anything. But if you're passionate about your product and you're writing a product that's not going to offend everybody, write a blog post and get your kind of name and credibility out there as someone who is a content creator. You can share recently published work. I have several researchers that are public researchers that I follow that they promote their work on LinkedIn, and they share it and get comments on there, and they ask about it, and it's pretty cool to see it. You can share and comment on those industry-related articles. You may also look at who else is commenting. You get some crackpots, and you're like, make sure you're not connected to them. Don't be that guy or gal. But it also looks at the people who are making the smart comments. Go on their profile and see what they're doing. Maybe connect with them. If they're interested in the same industry, it may be a great person as a resource for you. Connect with people who work in the jobs you want. That's that thing about reaching out and asking them what they did or how they did it. You can get ideas from branding from others, how they do it. I see people who have their own personal branding statements. Like my job says, Logan McCollum, Senior Recruiter, Global R&D. I've seen people say talent acquisition, guru or whatever. You can make stuff up creative. If that's how you want to brand yourself, that would be a choice. You update your photo. Doesn't have to be crazy. Don't do the glamour shots. But something professional, a background that is also professional. People will look at that and make a decision on you. If you're worried about what it looks like, leave it blank. But I'd put a beret or a plant or whatever you're into, something cool. So building upon that brand. You can get your own business cards if you really want to go hammer out what you do away from your company. Have a portfolio of your work to be able to show and explain that. Read industry publications, keep up with latest data, latest research, what's going on, what are the industry trends. That could give you an idea about, hey, I really want to go. That's super interesting. Maybe school is where you want to go back to. You never know. Create that target employer list. Research them. The more you know what they want, the more you can make sure you're marketable in the ways that they want it. Take care of yourself. Keep positive. Spend time with people who lift you up. Be genuine. We've heard that a few times about being honest and truthful. Being genuine, it's like if the company doesn't want you for who you are, that's not the company for you. Please, when you go into interviews, be yourself. And we hire genuine people. We try to hire for values. And when you hire for values, you get a pretty good diversity of candidates because that comes across a lot of different ways. So I would include a cover letter. Introduce yourself, explain why the job, why the company. Try to connect those dots. If you don't have the experience or relying on crossover skills, say it. Hey, guess what? Don't throw my resume away. I've got a bunch of cool stuff. Put some personality in it. Don't repeat your resume. A cover letter is to introduce you. Your resume is there. You can reference it. But really, it's meant to kind of get an introduction. And I'll tell you, your resume and cover letter are there for one thing. It's to get you an interview. That's it. Once you did that, who cares? It's you talking to a recruiter or a hiring manager at that point, and it's about how you interact, how you express yourself, how you can demonstrate those things. Have a robust resume. So don't recite responsibilities. I would recommend briefly explaining what your job function is, and then include bullet points of outcomes. MSA is what I look at, made, saved, or achieved. So it really ties and it shows an employer that you understand your impact and what your work does in the relation to the overall business goals or otherwise. But that's kind of a simple way to look at it. Don't write paragraphs. No one wants to read them. Please. Save. Did you save money? Did you develop something? Yeah. Did you make something cool? Did you achieve a great thing or save some money or something else?
So for us that we're all in academia,
yep.
It's very complicated to like have this made save achieve because
yeah.
We don't work with money. We don't, you know, the only thing that we save is sometimes, you know, say buy pets, love, you know, those kind of
yeah,
things.
It's a little,
you know, it's kinda like,
that's more when you get industry work and you have work in there. Now, you could relate maybe research and what was the outcome of that. So in a if you don't have work experience, you're made, saved, achieved. Your achievement a lot of times is what the research was. And maybe the achievement was, hey, this research didn't work good. I learned how to do more research. But that's relevant. We want people who do that. Does that make sense? Or?
So it's not something like, really, you know, like you need to write this down. But it could say, let's say, on my master's, I did this research. And
yep. Yeah, or we developed a method to, you know, do better irrigation with less water. I mean, that's saving. It's kind of, you know, you get bigger outcomes in there. Do you have a question?
Well, I was thinking that, you know, even as an academic, if you're training and teaching students or you're mentoring them, those are key significant characteristics of your company is trying to hire a trainer or a personnel development person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think a lot of that is just really how you want to focus this, but you can apply these things. Having a good resume and cover letter will work it anywhere. Being able to communicate, that's pretty basic stuff. And then ensure it's a reflection of you. Be accurate, be genuine, be honest, but you know, make sure that what you're saying, you can say you know something or have been exposed to something without saying you're an expert. Don't say you're an expert unless you're an expert, please. The experts will call it out really quick. Expand your network. So all these people sitting in the room, if you don't know each other, you probably ought to know each other by the time you get out this week. LinkedIn's a great way to stay connected or at least a familiar face. If you come back next year, you're going to see more familiar faces. Attend the conferences. Follow industry influencers. There's people on LinkedIn that are in different industries, but you can follow them, see the content, and you'll kind of you see people who like to post stuff out there. Take advantage of local opportunities. You can attend, present research, you can learn, interact, and that would be more like a local research, farm trials or other things that would be done in there. Help others expand your network, kind of that good karma thing. If you can make a connection with someone, you know. I think Jessica mentioned, take 2 minutes to send an email over. That's really cool. People remember that stuff. It not only gets you connected with that person that you're connecting, but it kind of, you know, ties you back into that industry again. If you do get a rejection, and I'll tell you, we get hundreds of applications sometimes to hire one person. 99 people get a rejection. If you handle that respectfully, I've called people back who we said no to immediately and said yes to. Because the original candidate for some reason backed out or didn't make it through a background check or something. And I've commented, hey, thank you for being respectful when I told you no. You know, I called you back to say yes, and that's the reason. And I've had people that don't handle it the same way. And they don't get another call. So it's just being a good person. That's what I got.